And encouraged. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And we don't have to finish it quite yet, right? And we can keep it going just a little bit longer. And the Lord's blessed us, and I'm so thankful for it. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. I did make a mishap. That's why you have good assistant pastors. And Brother Vernon whispered in my ear. He said, Pastor, he said, you need to, he said, you said the funeral, the visitation for Shirley Ann Whitaker was at 10 a.m. and the funeral's at 12. It's at 11 a.m. And so I hope I got that right. And I wanted to correct that and make sure nobody showed up at the wrong time. And continue to pray for Miss Debbie and lift up her family to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Luke chapter number 2. Well, Christmas is a reminder that Jesus has come and that He's coming again, right? Amen. God had a welcoming committee that first Christmas. There were men and women that were selected by God to be witnesses of the incarnation of Christ coming into the world. They were unlikely people. They're not people that maybe you and I would have selected, but aren't you glad that God works in a different way? And God selected them to be the witnesses of His coming, to welcome the Lord to the earth. We learned about Joseph and Mary, the man and the young woman that God selected to raise His son. God, they remind us that God can take ordinary people like you and me and give meaning and purpose to our lives. The first announcement of His birth was to the unlikeliest group of people. They were shepherds on a Judean hillside outside the town of Bethlehem. No doubt they were probably, we don't know that for a fact, but they were caring for sheep that would be used in the temple sacrifices. What a fitting group of people to make the announcement that the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, has come into the world. You know what the shepherds remind us as we look at this cast of Christmas? The shepherds remind us no one is insignificant with God. Then we looked at the wise men, the magi that traveled hundreds of miles from a distant land. They saw a star. They didn't follow it, they saw it. They went to the capital city of Jerusalem. They were asking everyone, where is He? I mean, it was a momentous event, the Messiah. They've been looking for Him. They saw His star in the east. They've come to worship Him. Where is He that is born? Asking the question over and over and over, where is He that is born King of the Jews? They find from Herod, they find the location. It's Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, that He would be born. An insignificant little town. They would go there. They would offer Him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They would fall down and worship Him, not them. They didn't worship Mary. They worship Jesus. They remind us that no one sets out in search of Jesus that does not find Him. Aren't you glad that when you search for Him, the Bible says, with all your heart, you'll find Him. Isn't that good? Really, He finds us, doesn't He? And then I thought about Simeon last Sunday, a man who had received a promise from the Holy Spirit. God had told him that he would not die till he had seen with his very own eyes the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Christ. And he waited all his, no doubt he was an aged man. Tradition says he was 113 years of age. We don't know that, but no doubt he's a very old man, an aged man. And that day he enters the temple precincts, and that was the day that faith would become sight for Simeon. And the Bible said he waited for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means hope. And that day faith became sight. Aren't you glad there's coming a day, friend, when the Christ of Christmas will come again and our faith will become sight? Won't that be a wonderful day? You know what Simeon taught us? That with Jesus, there's hope. Oh, we live in such a hopeless world. Such a chaotic world. Such a time of uncertainty. We look at the news, and if you listen to the news, you ask yourself over and over again, is there any hope? I've got good news. With Jesus, there's hope this morning. Now this morning, we're going to come to the star of the cast. None of the other cast members really matter without Him. You know what this cast member is going to teach us is really that He is the reason for the season. And His name is Jesus. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 2 and find, if you would please, verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad that Jesus came for everybody? Isn't that good? Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Why did he say on earth? Because there's always peace in heaven. You ever thought about that? There's never any war or strife in heaven. But there is on earth. And God said there's peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, and the angels were going away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. Excuse me, verse 17. When they had seen it, they made abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now I want you to skip over to verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Can I tell you, he alone is the reason for the season. The truth, that truth is found in the angel's announcement to these humble shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want us to look at the Lord Jesus today. Let's pray together. Lord, we sure love you and thank you for how you blessed us already this morning. I'm so glad to be in your presence. I'm so glad, Lord, that you're amongst us. Father, I pray that we here at Calvary Baptist Church would never take for granted the presence of God. Lord, that we would delight in you today, that we would praise you, that we would worship you, that we would love you, we would lift you up. Lord, give power to your word today. Give clarity of thought and speech to your preacher. Help me to say exactly, Lord, what you would have me to say. And Lord, to be your mouthpiece. I pray that Christ would be magnified in our midst. Help us to see him this morning. Father, work in hearts and lives. And if there's someone that's never received the gift of eternal life, I pray today that would be the day. Lord, maybe one of your children away from you and their heart would come back. And Lord, all of us would be helped and challenged and encouraged. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. The most pivotal moment in human history and the history of the world was when God blessed this world with the birth of a baby. But that baby wasn't just any ordinary baby. No, he was extraordinary in every way. This baby that would be born, this baby that the angels told the shepherds of, he would be named Jesus. I want us to think first of all about the miracle of his birth. The miracle of his birth. We've already learned that the Lord Jesus was born into this world as no other baby has ever been born. The Bible teaches us that he was born of a virgin, that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the Spirit. Look back, if you would, in chapter 1 and find verse number 35. You have here the angel answering the question of Mary. Not a question of doubt, but a seeking of information. It is a virgin. She was wondering, how could I conceive? How can I give birth? And the angel answers the question. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, I just want you to understand something. What's getting ready to happen to you is a marvelous miracle. It's going to happen on a human scale, but it can happen on a divine scale. And I just want you to know, the baby that you're going to give birth to is not just your son. He's the Son of the living God. That's what he's saying. Matthew, two times, we won't turn there, records the angel's announcement to Joseph that Jesus would be conceived by the Holy Spirit, reminding him he would not be the father. Joseph was selected by God to raise his son, but the Bible never refers to Jesus as the son of Joseph in the sense of, people would say, it's not this Joseph's son, but God never said that. Chapter 1, verse 18, she, talking about Mary, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 1, verse 20, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Say, preacher, it's impossible for a woman, a virgin, to conceive on her own and give birth to a child. And you're exactly right. But when you bring in the power of the highest, when you recognize that God is at work, the Bible says with God, all things are possible. Friend, aren't you glad that we have a God that can work miracles? Jesus is the earthly son of a heavenly father and the heavenly son of an earthly mother, a creative act of the Holy Spirit. In the womb of the Virgin Mary, a body was formed by which the Lord Jesus clothed himself in the garments of humanity. But not just any kind of garments of humanity, that is sinless humanity. Jesus became man without ever ceasing to be God. 1 Timothy 3:10 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of Godness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is undiminished deity. At no time was Jesus ever less than God. And perfect humanity all wrapped up together in one marvelous, matchless individual. You see, the blessing of Christmas is that God became man. At the incarnation is God spelling Himself out in language that men can understand. Isn't that a blessing? He was conceived by the Spirit. What a momentous thing. As a matter of fact, we hear it so often, if we're not careful, it becomes old hat. But yet, folks, can I remind us, it was a marvelous miracle of God. Our God can do anything. He's the fulfillment of the Scriptures. Galatians 4:4, you can jot the verse down. But when the fullness of the time, not just fullness of time, the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Friend, can I tell you, God always has a calendar. God always has a plan. God has His own timetable. And in the time that was right, the fullness of the time, He came. It was a time that was foretold by the prophets. The birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, His second coming, all of the truth of the person of Jesus Christ is deeply rooted in the Old Testament Scriptures. And that's why when the Lord came and Philip was saved, he goes to his friend Nathanael. He wants to see him saved. And the Bible's John recording that said, Philip findeth Nathanael chapter 1 verse 45 of the Gospel of John and saith unto him, we have found him. Friend, can I tell you the greatest discovery you'll ever make is when you meet Jesus. Friend, listen, they said, we found Him. Have you found Him? Oh, what a discovery. I don't know about you, I'm getting a little excited. I'm glad I found Him. Amen. Or He found me. Yes, of whom Moses, listen, it's whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. I just want to tell you, He's rooted in the Scripture. This is Him, Nathanael, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And of course, remember, God never said that. Man did, but God never did. We recognize Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures. This is the Lord, after His resurrection, on the road to Emmaus. He went to the Bible. He didn't just immediately reveal Himself. No, He wanted their faith to be rooted in the Scriptures, and He started at Moses and went all through the prophets from Genesis to Malachi, and he expounded, He taught them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Him. Said they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I don't know about you, but I like it when I get a little holy heartburn, don't you? Acts chapter 10 verse 34 says to him, give all the prophets witness. Romans chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 says, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The proof of the person of Jesus Christ is the phenomena of predictive prophecy. No other person in the history of the world, in clear and no uncertain terms, life has been prophesied and foretold by so many different people over a period of hundreds of years, so that when He came, God said, when my Son comes, I don't want you to miss Him. I don't want you to miss Him. Oh, He's in every book of the Bible. Have you seen Him? He's in Genesis as the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. In Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the commander of the Lord's army, the captain of the Lord's army. In Judges, He's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, He's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He's the seed of David. In Kings and Chronicles, He's our coming reigning king. In Ezra, He's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, He's the rebuilder of everything that's broken. Aren't you glad that He can rebuild the brokenness and the hurt and the pain and the failure of our lives? Friend, can I tell you, listen, He's the rebuilder of everything. I'm glad He's the healer, aren't you? In Esther, He's our Mordecai, our advocate. In Job, He's our ever-living Redeemer. In Psalms, He's our shepherd. In Proverbs, He's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, He's the meaning of life. In the Song of Solomon, He's the loving Bridegroom. In Isaiah, He's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, in Lamentations, He's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, He's the glorious Lord. In Daniel, He's the fourth man in the fire. Aren't you glad when you're in the fire, there's a fourth man in the fire? In Hosea, He's the faithful husband. In Joel, He's the outpourer of the Holy Spirit. And in Amos, He's our burden bearer. I'm so glad I have one to help me bear my burdens in life. In Obadiah, He's a judge and Savior. In Jonah, He's the risen prophet. In Micah, He's the ruler of the world from Bethlehem. In Nahum, He's our stronghold. In Habakkuk, He's the watchman. In Zephaniah, He's mighty to save. In Haggai, He's the restorer of all things. In Zechariah, He's the branch of David and the one who's been pierced for us. And in Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. I'm glad that Jesus came, aren't you? But not only see the miracle of His birth, I see the majesty of His name. Look again at verse number 21 of Luke chapter 1. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus. The Bible said, which was so named to the angel before He was conceived in the womb. You remember Joseph was struggling because Mary, he was betrothed to her. They were in the engagement period, had shown up pregnant and wondering if she was unfaithful. What do I do with her? Do I have her stoned? Do I divorce her privately and secretly? What do I do? And God came on the scene and assured him that Mary hadn't been unfaithful, that what was going on in her life, God was at work here. God was at work. The angel said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All, friend, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad I called. He's the name which is above every name. Jesus is all we need. Isn't that amazing? He's the answer to all of life. To the artist, He's the fairest of 10,000 and the one who's altogether lovely. To the astronomer, He's the light of the world and the bright in the morning star. To the baker, He's the bread of life. To the banker, He's the hidden treasure. To the builder, He's the solid rock, the chief cornerstone. And to the farmer, He's the sower who went forth to sow. To the florist, He's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the horticulturist, He's the true vine. To the judge, He's the man without fault and the one in whom there is no guile. To the juror, He's the faithful and true witness. And to the jeweler, He's the pearl of great price. To those in government, He's the eternal King of Kings. To the newspaper man, the journalist, He's the tidings of great joy. To the philosopher, He's the Word made flesh and the truth of God. And to the preacher, He's the Word of God. To the servant, He's the good master. To the sick, He's a great physician. To the sinner, He's the suffering Savior. To the statesman, He's the desire of all nations. To the theologian, He's the author and finisher of our faith. And to those that are toiling, He's the giver of rest. Isn't He amazing today? Oh, there's the miracle of His birth. There's the majesty of His name. And then thirdly, as we look at the star of the cast, He's the mission. I want you to see the mission of His life. Could we go back to verse number 11 of Luke chapter 2 in the angel's announcement? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Somebody said if information had been our need, God would have sent an educator. If money had been our need, God would have sent an economist. If technology had been our need, God would send us a scientist. If pleasure had been our need, God would send us an entertainer. But salvation was our need, so God sent us a Savior, and His name is Jesus. I want you to look at verse 11, and you may have underlined these before. I just want you to do it this morning. Look at it. Savior, Christ, and Lord. All three titles in one verse. This is the only place in the Bible where you find all three titles given to Jesus in one place, and they're bound up in the babe of Bethlehem. Did you see that? It's right there. He's Christ the Lord. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. As Christ, that's His exalted position. He's the anointed of God. As Lord, that speaks to us of His eternal person. that He's the Lord from heaven. Friend, can I tell you, Jesus isn't just a good man. He's the Lord.
Amen.
And Savior, that expresses His purpose. Why He came. It's a reminder that the babe of Bethlehem didn't remain a baby. I know. People don't mind a baby in a manger. Can I remind you, He's a Lord on a throne. He's co-regent of the universe with His Father. He grows to manhood to fulfill His mission, His reason for coming into the world. You see, we really don't understand the meaning of Christmas until we understand that Christmas involved the coming of a Savior. For some people, it's just a party. For some people, it's just a holiday. For a Christian, it's a holy day.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I just don't believe He was born on February 25th. Okay. Doesn't matter. It might have been June 10th. I have no idea. But does it really matter? What matters is He came. I really don't care what date. We can put Christmas at whatever day you want to put it at. I'll still enjoy it. You say, preacher, why? Because I rejoice in the fact that Jesus came. For some, it's just another excuse to get drunk, to live in pleasure, to have a big time. But for you and I, it should be a time of reflection. It should be a time of remembrance. It should be a time of praise. It should be a time of worship. It should be a time of teaching. My children are grown. They're adults. A young man and a young woman of whom I'm very proud. Thankful for what God's done in their lives. For their love for Him. Not anything. I can promise you not anything their daddy did. I can promise you that. Their mama might have had something to do with it. But if my kids live for God, it's just God that did something. And to Him gets the glory for it. I'm very thankful for them. But as we sat together yesterday, before we ever opened a gift, before we ever did anything, we opened the Bible together. We prayed. I wanted to, even at their age, it's time of teaching. We went into the Bible together, just a few moments. We didn't spend a long time. I promise I didn't give 3 points in a poem. And then before we ever opened a gift, I said, I want each one of us to announce, to just share one blessing this year. One blessing. One. Now there's many, aren't they? But let's name one. Let's talk about one thing God's done. You see, I just want us to put the main thing as the main thing.
Amen. That's good.
It's not that I'm super spiritual. It's not that at all. You know me. I'm a struggler just like you are. But I just want to keep Him in His proper place. Because He's the Lord. Is He the Lord in your life? Is He the Lord in your family? Is He the Lord in your marriage? Is He where He's supposed to be? Do you realize this Savior title belongs to God alone? Isaiah 40 verse 11 said, I am the Lord, and beside me there's no Savior. Isaiah 49 verse 26, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and Redeemer. 1 John 4, 4, and we have seen and do testify, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and she shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He's a loving Savior. I just want to say there's nobody in this room He doesn't love. There's nobody outside these walls He does not love. God doesn't love a select few. He loves everybody.
Amen.
To limit the blood of Christ, to limit the blood of Christ is the greatest heresy that's ever been brought into our world.
Yes, sir.
That the blood of Jesus was shed just for a few. I'm glad it was shed for everybody.
Amen.
May I remind us, if we want to talk in these terms, the first Christmas tree, and understand it, these are just semantics. Was not an evergreen that is beautifully decorated with lights and ornaments. God's Christmas tree was a rugged cross stained with blood, filled with suffering and pain. Because He's not just a loving Savior, He's a life-giving Savior.
Amen.
He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I want you to just have life. I want you to have an abundant life. There's nothing greater than to know that you have the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." What you and I deserve is death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We spend all the time looking for that perfect gift, that gift that's going to be something special. There's no greater gift you'll ever give anybody than the gift of eternal life by sharing Jesus Christ with them.
Amen.
And there's no greater gift you'll ever receive than the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's just not. If you miss that gift, you've missed it all. Someone once wrote, "Dear Abby," can I date myself? I don't know who she is, but I remember the Dear Abby column. Nobody even reads the newspaper today. They were writing, "Dear Abby." I always give our Gen Zers and Ys and Millennials and all that. I'm not sure how many generations. I always give them something to Google. It's always fun. There was a young man. This story came in and she wrote it in her column. There was a young man from a wealthy family. He was about to graduate from high school. It was a custom in their affluent community for parents to give their graduating children a new car. The boy and his dad spent weeks of visiting dealership after dealership, and the week before graduation, and they found the perfect car. The boy was certain that it would be in the driveway on graduation night. On the eve of his graduation, however, his father handed him a small package wrapped in colorful paper, and the father told the boy that the package contained the most valuable gift that he as a father could ever give to him for his graduation. And him thinking that it was a box holding the keys to his car, he eagerly opened it, ripped off the paper, and opened the box. And instead of finding keys to a brand new car, he found a Bible. The boy was so furious with his dad, he threw the Bible down. He stormed out of the house. He never saw his dad again. Several years later, news reached him that his father had died. He came back home again. Following the funeral, he was sitting alone in his room, going through his dad's possessions that he was going to inherit. And he came across that Bible that his dad had given him on his graduation night that he had thrown down so many years before. It's interesting that, overwhelmed by grief, he brushed away the dust, the tears, cracked open the Bible for the first time, and when he did, a cashier's check dated the day of his high school graduation fell into his lap in the exact amount of the car that they had chosen together. The gift had been there all the time. And if he had just opened his Bible, he would have found it. Isn't that amazing? The gift of eternal life has been here all the time. You just need to open the Bible. Find it. Because He gave Himself for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed Him, that means we receive Him as Savior. We by faith call on Him, "Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. Should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you received the gift? Because that is why He came. Let's bow our heads in prayer.